Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday they've got brand new records coming in from Rush, All Them Witches, Tim McGraw, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Lindsey Stirling, the Star Wars complete soundtrack, Straight Outta Compton soundtrack, all kinds of stuff coming in this week. So get down there, pick up some brand new records. They've got tons of great used and new vinyl and CDs and tapes. If you go down there on Friday, they got free beer from Four Hands Brewery and 10% off any new purchase. So, go down and check them out. Follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, this is Vision.
This is Matthias.
Of Matthias and the Pirates.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
What?
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Heard the news today, sky's kinda gray, looking like the outlook of so many heads that hang appropriately forecast, cause we know no other way. Can't recall the last time the sun showed its face. Now we welcome in the rain, even pursue the doom and give that storm a little chase. So unattached, yeah, we revel in the pain. At least we feel a little something when that thunder hits your face. So out of place, tell me when it got this way. A million likes on your page, but you can't look me in the face. Can't hold a time because you ain't got much to say. Your brain's max capacity's 140 spaces. It behooves you to be gracious. Who are you to say that? Cause you don't respect yourself, don't mean I'm the one to take it. Sick as hell of faking it. If you don't understand, take it back to the basics. I don't get a pass. Ego too inflated, unappreciative of praises, never satiated, entitled yet ungrateful. It's unlike me to be hateful. I was raised better. The skies may never settle, and the dust may never settle. And I ain't got time to be like that. I weather the storms and be like that.
My soul.
For your latches, don't speak, don't eat, focus on your gadgets. Everyday humans lose a little bit of magic. Kids raised on television never even had it. Everyone's a cynic and an influential blogger. Life out in the world's like a freaking game of Frogger. Look at your daughters, movies up on Facebook, fast food, bad moves, an attitude that ain't good. Look at your son, he's got his first gun. Ain't no regard for life, he wanna be the worst one. A smile on his face when he see that hearse come. An appetite for bragging rights are drawing first blood. Look at yourself in that broken ass mirror. Too much honey boo boo ain't gon' make your mind clearer. Keeping up with fake housewives in which city? Watching Jersey Shore douchebags getting rich quickly. Inexplicably, yes, someone freaking paid them. Out here in the city, things are nothing short of mayhem. And if the doctor isn't coming, someone page him. The soulless empty masses have my hungry heart breaking.
My soul must have left the day in downtown. Down here in the cold.
Must have left it laying downtown, out there in the cold. Must have left it laying downtown, out there in the cold. Someone put a hole in my bucket, got a hole in my bucket like gold. And I've been waiting on the day when they all say don't come around here no more. Someone put a hole in my bucket, got a hole in my bucket like gold.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Soulard, Missouri. What hanging, up? Hanging out with, was it four total members of the band?
Well, it's three full-time.
Three, four.
I was trying to do the fraction, two-thirds, two-fourths, or half, or whatever. Yeah, I was trying to.
Yeah.
But Matthias and Kandasi of Matthias and the Pirates, welcome
to the
show.
Hello.
Very excited about this. Welcome back to the show for Matthias.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Same countertop, different
day. Yeah, yeah. I was just listening back to it, just so I make sure I didn't repeat the same stuff. I always like to go back and listen to them again, and just some are a little rough to listen to, like not the guest part, but my part. I feel like I've definitely grown, you know, especially that was like 66, I think, or something like that. So I've almost done nearly 100 episodes since that day.
Since that day.
And that was like April.
That's crazy.
So
that's crazy, yeah.
So, you know, with anything else, you get out there and do it enough, you're going to get better at it. So I feel like I've grown as a broadcaster, or whatever you want to call me.
Interviewer.
A podcaster.
Podcaster.
Yeah. Maestro.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, I haven't grown any as an interviewee.
Oh, yeah.
Still the same douchebag.
I can count on you.
Yeah. But that one was a lot of fun to listen to, though, just especially because you were all full of allergies and stuff, so it was just a funny day. We're all blowing our nose and everything else.
I recall that actually very well. It was right in the middle of my worst allergy season, which is the spring, and I always have to have like Kleenex in my pocket and whatnot. And my face was blown up that day. I recall.
I think we're all in much much better health right now.
Today is much better.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I was just jamming Caveman Barnacles on the way down. We talked a little bit about the EP back then, but man, I love that EP. It's
thank you.
It's excellent.
I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. She's a year old now.
Yeah,
yeah, she is.
Yeah. Panic Button is one I can't get enough of. That one that's my turner upper. I really like that one. So.
Oh, thanks. That seems to be the one that that most everybody talks about from that record. I mean, it's an EP, so everybody's got their favorite.
Yeah.
You know, but. Panic Button is pretty poignant, you know the social aspect.
It's extremely relative when
injustice, and actually, it's funny you mentioned that song today, because yesterday the grand jury in Cleveland just failed to indict the officer who killed Tamir Rice, and so all of those feelings have come right back up to the surface.
Sure.
Very recently, it's like a new open wound again, and that song, I think, will find some more relevance.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. It's fun how, you know, music, I mean, not that that's a fun situation by any means, but the, how music continues to stay relevant, you know, I mean, you look at like, the Beatles just made it on Spotify now and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, just now.
Right? Yeah.
Just made it.
Yeah. And it's like people, you know, there's a whole new generation of young people that are going to discover the Beatles music. It's 50s, 60s year old and stuff like that.
Kandasi, we were on Spotify before the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
That's good. There's still kids out there that are like, no, I don't know who the Beatles
are.
Beatles, who's Miles Davis?
Is that an indie band?
Yeah, right.
The Beatles sounds hip.
There was some of that, like when McCartney was on Grammys or whatever it was with Kanye and stuff. Like, there was people, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's people trolling, but there was, like, people putting in Twitter, like, who, you know, who's this Paul McCartney guy? And
who's
stuff?
This old guy playing the bass?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's
go to
totally
school,
true.
Kids. Yeah. Go to school.
It's totally true. I actually saw that performance. I'm no Kanye West fan, but I definitely, you know, appreciated that he, you know, involved Paul McCartney in something that is new and mm-hmm. fresh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that Paul McCartney needed Kanye West. I think Kanye West needed Paul McCartney
sure.
a little more, you know, but...
it's kind of paying a certain respect.
It's paying a respect. And one thing you can say about Kanye West is that he does know where he comes from and where the music comes from and who came before him and all that, and that certainly is to be respected. I just really don't like his music. So.
Sure, yeah.
He can be a handful is what we'll say.
I was a fan of the early stuff. I love College Dropout and stuff. Like.
Oh, yeah, man. The first record he came out with was great. It was fantastic. As soon as he got a little money and notoriety and all that, I think he got pretty full of himself, and that comes out in his music, you know, for sure.
Yeah. I love what's is that like end track on College Dropout when he's like telling his whole story?
To the wire, to the limit. He's telling the whole thing.
About how like and it's fun, like those little drops that come in, like, you know, like, yeah, Dame's like, oh, that's hot, you know, and like, and then the, you know, Dame saying that and stuff, like, it's just, I thought it was really well done. I like the effect that, like, you know, he's telling the story with the beat and all the stuff going on. It was a cool track.
But. Yeah, really cool. And again, man, that first record was something to be celebrated, certainly. It's really, really dope.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it when it came out. I thought it was really good. It, you know, it came out in the you know, what, early mid-2000s.
Yeah,
you know?
It was like 04 or something like that.
Yeah, so like, when it came out, it kind of harkened back to the 90s a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
And
of
it was
course,
feel good.
You know, he came up in the 90s, you know, as a producer. He produced for Jay-Z, and he, you know, Most Def and Common knew those dudes. Like, you know, so he was part of the circles without actually being famous.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of us would, you know, like to be part of those kind of circles.
Oh, yeah.
And fame or no fame, you know, just being able to run with cats like that and have music on their records.
Right, he's got quite a resume
before he became famous. So, you know, not to hate on the guy completely. I just feel like when he got, you know, super super famous, you know, after that record, you know, I think artistically, you know, I'm not going to say it went downhill. It just went a direction that I think I just didn't feel.
Sure.
I think it became, like, more catered to the mass.
Yeah.
I was glad to hear him do some original stuff, though, not so much sampling.
Well, certainly.
I was glad to hear some original beats and what he can actually do as far as production is concerned without someone else's work. But, you know.
Yeah. Speaking on that, 808 and Heartbreaks, I mean, that's one of the records that was all original stuff and whatnot. I could not stand that shit. It's all
I like a couple tracks off of it. A lot of auto-tune, and that's what really turned me off about it. It's too much of that going around on the radio nowadays.
Right.
Indeed. But you know what? Like, as an artist, I understand somebody wanting to try some different shit because you get bored doing the same thing over and over again. You know?
And in the end, you should be what you want to do, you know?
It should be
what you want to create. So.
Absolutely, man. All my stuff used to sound like the 90s. You know? Like, I started making records in the 90s, so, you know, all my stuff used to sound like that golden era boom bap and, you know, the sample-based... You know, jazz based, you know, just really, you know, that flavor is what made me tick. And then after a while, I was like, you know what, I think I need to stretch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, all the stuff we're doing now, you know, I would say the same thing with Earthworms. We stretched a little bit on our last record, and, you know, my solo album, I tried to stretch a little bit, but Pirates, for sure, like, we don't sound like the 90s. We sound like something different entirely.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's a more updated sound with, you know, a lot of the similar ideas and whatnot, but, you know, even try to stretch with writing and making songs that aren't necessarily in your comfort zone, tackling themes that may be difficult to write about, you know, both mentally and rhyme scheme wise, you know, but I think it makes you a stronger artist by doing so.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Make you reach and challenge yourself, always getting better, you know, always doing something new, so.
Sure. Well, before we get going too far, I want to make sure we get these dates out. Come out January 14th to Cicero's.
That's correct.
And January 24th to the demo.
That's right. And actually, that's the 24th is part of an entire weekend geared towards raising money for the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Yeah.
I am not shy whatsoever about throwing my support behind Bernie Sanders. I think he's the best chance we have at actual change. He's mm-hmm. he's pretty revolutionary for being an old guy. You know, like the guy really wants to make some sweeping changes. And he's talking some big stuff, you know, even bigger than Barack Obama was talking when he was getting elected. Yeah. And but Bernie Sanders, I think, is our best shot at, you know, affecting actual change within the current structure.
Yeah.
You know, barring a, you know what I mean? I think, you know, a mental revolution is kind of what we need right now. And that's what he represents. And I you know, so we're throwing our support behind that fundraiser. It starts on the 23rd. It's a whole weekend, 23rd and 24th, Saturday and Sunday. It's at the demo. The lineup is obnoxious.
It's so
obnoxiously good.
Yeah. A lot of friends from the show, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, The Wilderness, Letter to Memphis.
Yep. There's Blank Generation.
Yeah.
Blank Generation.
Yeah, there's, Luke Brett.
Michael Franco.
Yeah. And then Matthias and the Pirates.
Right.
And more.
And there's more, of course. I'm not remembering everybody. Yeah. But
yeah, $10 to get you in, and Sunyetta's hosting it.
Yeah, Sunyetta from Cave of Swords. She's she's acting as the host.
Yeah.
For the whole weekend, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had a recorded with her and Kevin and Eric one day.
Those are our buddies.
They're I didn't know them before we sat down. I was seeing Cave of Swords name a lot and mm-hmm. all this stuff, and I'm all for reaching out to do what I can to help out. So we sat down and we totally hit it off. Like, you know,
they're great kids.
Yeah, really, really cool people. And
oh yeah, they're great people.
Yeah. So
yeah, real fantastic.
Yeah.
And the 14th, speaking on that one, that's the Cicero's show. That's the pre-party for Prologue 5. Mm-hmm. So Prologue 5 is the new compilation album from Farfetched, which is our collective, our label. And it's a yearly thing, happens in January. This is the fifth one. So it's our five-year anniversary as a label. And the 15th, right, and the 15th is actually a 2720. It's the release party, and that's got, you know, it's stacked lineup, really, really great lineup. Blank Generation, who else is on that lineup? I can't even think right now.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone in the world is on that lineup. You should go. But the 14th is the pre-party. I booked that, so I know exactly who's on the lineup, and it's Pirates, Superhero Killer, who's new to Farfetched. They bring a lot of experience to the game and a really good soulful funky sound, something the label didn't previously really have. So excited to have them on board. We have Centipede going to open the show, and then we have Hands and Feet, who I believe has been on your show as well. Steven Favazza, right?
Yeah. We recorded at his home, and then also did a live in-store over a music record shop, and I invited Hands and Feet to come play there.
All right, I never recall that.
Yeah, and that was a really cool day. I also had invited Connor Lau from he brought his original band out, Brainwaves, and they did a stuff out there, and it was just, you know,
I've heard he's really great.
Yeah, Connor's he's super talented. Man, 15 years old, and he can just. He's
it's ridiculous.
Virtuoso on guitar.
15.
Man. Yeah.
Come on. He was part of the School of Rock, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's at School of Rock. He last year they invited him to play at the at 14, was playing with El Monstero, did the guitar solo on Money and stuff.
Did
he? Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he's got to hang with all kinds of cool people, and
Dude's just gonna have a real good life.
Yeah.
if it's not already.
You know, and he's one of those. I mean, you know, he's deservingly so. He's a really talented young guy, but super the nicest kid you'll ever meet. Like, he's just really down to earth, and you know, great family too. And like, it was just they're really cool people to hang around. So I'm glad to see the success for a young guy like that. So,
and when he was born, I was in a band called Jive Turkey. I was a grown ass 25 year old. It was the year I went to Europe the first time. Like, you know, these are all things that I
remember. He was bored.
You know, like in my adulthood, right?
Yeah.
And that's his whole life right now. And he plays the guitar better than most people I know, probably.
Yeah.
That's great. The lineup, by the way, Candace so thoughtfully pulled this up on her phone for Prologue 5, and this is... Okay, I'm going to put these things in chronological order here. The Prologue release party is the 14th, and that's what we already spoke about. That's the one with Pirates and Superhero Killer and Centipede and Hands and Feet. And then the next night is at 2720, which is the official release party. And that's going to feature Abnormal, Adult Fur, Blank Generation, Cave of Swords, Golden Curls, and Lauren D. It's a great lineup. Everybody's stupid talented. Both nights. It's certainly something that you want to attend.
Absolutely.
Everybody who pays to get into Cicero's on the 14th, which is a Thursday, will get, when they get to 2720 the next night, a free download of Prologue 5, which is something you probably want to have. And so there's a little bit of encouragement for you to come and spend, you know, two nights in a row with us.
And it's a couple evenings with us.
Yeah, a couple evenings. All different artists, too. So, I mean, you'll get to see a whole lot of what Farfetch'd has to offer if you come both nights.
Absolutely.
And we really encourage you to do so. Come be a part of the movement. It's exciting. I can't think of another... collective in town that has quite as much to offer as we do. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So many different genres and so many different talented artists. It's amazing to be a part of it. So,
I mean, it's kind of a lot of how I've been doing a lot of the booking for doing this podcast is like stuff like that. Like I'll see a Farfetch'd show and then I'll see like, you know, your guys' name and then like, and then that's how I ended up getting Cave of Swords, Hands and Feet, and like all these people I started just discovering because I see their name associated, like with your guys' stuff and other shows, and then you know, I've been discovering a lot of really great music all around town, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it also.
Yeah.
But yeah, so come out to those shows and pick up your copy of Caveman Barnacles if you haven't done so. I'm sure you guys will have some copies for sale.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I wanted to... I thought since, you know, last time we covered a lot of stuff, but I think it'd be interesting to talk to you, too, about how you two came to performing together and stuff, and when that all started.
Oh, goodness. What was it? 2009?
Neighborhood.
Ish.
We initially, I mean, our old bands used to play together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. Hell, I remember Candace from Royal Elite.
RTC for life.
Back in the days. And we, when I was with Art Thugs, and we moved out to L.A., we actually snatched a guy from Royal Elite and he became a member of Art Thugs. NyQuil, his name's Travis, and he moved out to L.A. with us, and we went out and lived there for a while, but I don't think I'd met you yet at that point, but we...
Knew of him, but I had met him.
Travis played some recordings, and that you were on them, and so that's how I first came to know who you were, and then came back from California, eventually started Earthworms, and by this point in time, you were... Royal Elite was still going...
Mm-hmm.
Gray Tones was a faction of Royal Elite.
Yeah, we had several different factions under the Royal Elite umbrella, and Gray Tones was the one that I was in. So with an MC named Orbix, his name's Eric. And then Noodles, his name's Dave. Still throws a lot of shows. He does Skate Laborious Church up there. He throws shows up there. But they had both had a long track record in the music, too. So, but...
Yeah, no, that's totally what's up. And then we, Earthworms and Gray Tones, played a number of shows together.
Mm-hmm.
We had a similar incubation period, you know, as far as years of being around and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Earthworms might have had a year or two on y'all, but I mean, it was very similar.
Sure.
And then Earthworms and Gray Tones broke up, like right
around
the same time.
Royal Elite kind of broke up the whole.
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. You know, some folks stopped performing. You know, in general, I don't think your brother stopped performing.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's probably going to get back on it, but he's on some other things now.
He
should. Yeah.
He was always good, and. And let's see, you know, Travis doesn't really perform anymore. You know, he's a personal trainer now. He's all yoked up and everything. And
Noodles got married and started a farm.
Right? Yeah. Him and his wife own such and such farm, and they actually provide vegetables and things that they've grown to a lot of restaurants here in town.
Really good local restaurants.
And, You know, one of them is Bird and Barrel. I know they have such and such
Libertine
stuff. Like their pickled vegetables are from such and such.
Okay.
And actually, the Perennial Artisan Ales, the brewery I work at, they work with such and such as well, and bring in some produce from them. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. But yeah, so when that happened, I had started a solo record. It's called Devils, Pirates, and Rebels, which is where I drew the name Matthias and the Pirates from. And the solo record came out on IndieGround back in 2009, I want to say it was.
Yeah.
And Kendase guested on two of the songs. And I knew I wanted to have her when I was in the studio one day over at JTOTH's, and she was recording some hooks for Helias. Helias is he's no longer with us, but he was making a record, and it was going to be great. He never put it out because he wasn't around to finish it. But Kendase recorded, you know, some stuff for that record, and I was like, shit, I need to get her singing on the record. Because I'd been doing the sing-songy parts, you know, on the songs that she ended up singing
on. Which
he can
definitely carry it too. He could do it. Yeah.
I can do it, but I wanted more power. You know what I mean? Like, I can hit these notes, I can do it, but, like, what I had in my head was more power. More, like, you know, just more oomph behind the singing than I really had, you know. And so Kendase came into the picture, and I really enjoyed the tracks that we made together.
It was really easy to work with him too.
Yeah,
he had clear-cut ideas, you know, real creative. I always liked what he did, so yeah, it was like logical. I was like, yeah, I'll get up on your stuff, thanks for having me.
And so then at one point in time I came up with the idea of a new group called Matthias and the Pirates. I specifically had her in mind, and we lived around the corner from each other over in Southtown at this point in time, and I gave her a call. I was standing on my front porch. It was about January. It was cold. I was still a cigarette smoker, so I was outside smoking some cigarettes, and I was like, hey, come be in my band, and she was like, dope.
And, let's do it.
And then we literally got together like the next week and started writing.
Nice.
And,
especially when he brought the name Matthias and the Pirates, I was like, I'm in that, definitely.
And you know, it wasn't long before we called up LB to have him you know, come be our DJ.
Yeah.
And, you know,
always strong with the cuts.
It was nice and symbiotic, and Life of the Buzzard was the result of that, our first record.
Man, and I remember writing Life of the Buzzard and feeling, for the first time in a long time, just like, this is gonna make an impact, you know. Not necessarily saying that what we did with Royal Elite wasn't as strong or as meaningful to me, but it was just like, I was really excited to write that album, and it came easily. Like, we did 12 tracks on that album.
Yeah, something like that.
And we just, like, every other week we were over each other's houses writing, every other couple weeks we did a recording, you know, and just like trucking it out, you know. It was really great to work with, especially with somebody with that much experience, you know, in it, and like-mindedness. It was just perfect.
So. Well, and for me too, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was a new thing entirely. I'd been with Earthworms for 7 years previous to that, and that didn't end well, you know. And I mean, I'm still friends with everybody involved. It took a while for a couple of us to be friendly, but you know, the way it ended left a real bad taste. And artistically and everything, I was just like, man, I don't even know. You know, I did a whole lot of solo shows, and that's cool. But I've always been more of a group guy. I like working with people. I like making a bigger sound. You know, I like having people to sing with and rap with and back me up. Them back, you know, and vice versa. And you know, it's just more fun for me that way. So you know, I started scheming and thinking about, I mean, Earthworms had broken up the previous fall, early fall, like
we were right about that same time,
late August, early September. Yeah, and Grey Tone, same thing.
Yeah.
And and then through the winter, you know, I again was focusing on the solo stuff, because I'd just put out a solo record earlier that year. And you know, I was doing a lot of shows, a lot of big shows too. It was going really well, but I just, you know, it's not as fun just being on stage by myself with a DJ behind me. I'd so much rather, like, have somebody next to me, you know.
When you guys, you know, complement each other very well on stage, like, you know, especially, obviously, male-female parts and everything, just all of it, just, you know, you guys really blend well together, I think, and it's, and our, you know, you're talking about the writing, and it's where I'm a big fan. I enjoy all, you know, all your writing and stuff.
Sweet.
It's
thank you.
You you know, you guys have enough political stuff in there, and then, like, you know, and stuff of, like, just really relatable, mm-hmm. you know, daily struggle and stuff like that. That's all mm-hmm. in there, and it's just I really, you know, I can relate to it, a lot of it, and so it's for me, that's like it's one thing in, you know, in a lot of you know, hip hop stuff today, like it's just it's not very relatable for me at all. So
yeah, sure.
So
don't talk about anything meaningful most right. times, you know. So
for me, you know, to have a something with a beat and you know, and a nice message to it is really nice to hear. So
sure.
Well, thanks.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, I think hip hop's got room for everything.
Yeah.
I, you know, we certainly write about, you know, whack rappers. I mean, there's certainly. You know, we write flippin' ass songs about flippin' ass rappers,
right.
you know, like, and that's okay, you know, that's part of the deal, that's part of, you know, and being in hip-hop, it's like you hear a lot of bullshit out there, so, like, it's real tough not to talk about it sometimes.
Right, but especially when you're in it because of the reason that you are, you know, it's frustrating to hear that kind of stuff.
Exactly. No, and it's funny because the newest song we recorded is just that. It's called Britannomyces. It's the one that's going to be on Prologue 5. And those of you listening to this podcast are going to hear it at the end of the podcast. Maybe before anybody else hears it.
It probably will be.
And, you know, it's real cool. It features 18 and Counting, who is a label mate of ours. Stan Chisholm is his... This is, you know, is a government name.
His God-given name.
Right. You know, it's a collaboration thing, and my boys in L.A., they go by Breakfast Beats. Sam and Matt, they were in Art Thugs and Jive Turkey with me, like, years ago. I lived with them in L.A. Like, we moved out there together. These are, like, my longtime homies, you know, a couple of my best friends in the world. And this is the first time we've collaborated in many, many years artistically. Been out there, you know, in Matt's wedding and all that. Like, it's we keep in touch, but this is the first time we've actually collaborated artistically in a long time. They're still out there making music and doing their thing, and they have families out there and like, you know, real jobs and roots, so they're not going anywhere mm-hmm. anytime soon. But you know, so that's kind of kept us from working together, you know, a lot is just the distance between us, I think, and
sure.
you know, the direction we were going probably. But this song just became a natural fit, and you know, we did the work, and what came out lyrically is just like, you know, being a dude who's been around since the 90s. You know, I've seen hip hop take on a lot of forms, and they're all to be celebrated, certainly. I think the new era of hip hop maybe is a little more shallow mm-hmm. than past eras, and that's not to say that it won't change and get better and whatnot, because it usually does.
There's still not that dope shit out there that people just haven't heard yet.
Really is. I mean, there's some underground stuff that's cool. A lot of the underground stuff I hear sounds like every other damn song that's mm-hmm. out there, though. So, you know, and I really try not to be such a hater. And I try not to be the old curmudgeon that's like, you know, the 90s were better and everything else sucks and get off my lawn. Although, like, that's kind of how I come off, and I know it. But, you know, that's okay. And especially if you get some whiskey in me, I will tell a motherfucker to get off my lawn. But, you know, so anyway, lyrically, you know, conceptually, you know, Britannomyces is about that. And the word itself is a wild yeast strain that a lot of brewers use in beers to make the beer, you know, particularly funky. There's a couple different strains of it. It's not just one. It's fucking science. But it's
science.
It's you put this yeast in a beer, and it changes the beer over time. You can age the beer, and it'll taste different today than it will next year. You know what I mean? And it keeps it fresh and alive and ever-changing, and it's a really, really cool thing, actually. And so the root of, you know, of what it does is it makes it funky. So I took that,
yeah.
you know, and it's like, we make
music funky.
And
put us in your songs, we'll make it funky.
Yeah, right. So anyway, yeah, we wrote a song about, you know, I guess wishing we were hearing more new hip-hop that was dope and better, and just also just sort of proclaiming our dopeness, you know. And so that's cool. I mean, that's what hip hop is.
Every MC should think they're the best.
Yeah.
So.
And so you know, but yes, I do like the more thematic, textured things as well. And certainly, you know, we'll have that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a song called Altered Beast coming out. We haven't finished it yet,
mm-hmm.
But it's got Abstract, Rude, and Micah 9 from LA, Project Blowed family, out there, and you know, people into underground hip hop certainly know who those guys are. Mm-hmm. And you know, two guys I've been listening to since way back in the 90s, you know, certainly instrumental as to why I took the road I took. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it was really a pleasure getting to work with them. And
play with them too,
right? And then we'll, you know, we'll put that out, and that's certainly more thematic. You know, mm-hmm. it's pretty much about expansion, and mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on it, but that's, you know, it's really cool. And you know, we'll have some more stuff too, and certainly, you know, I can't make a record without writing something about the current climate of social injustice.
Absolutely, you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So we. I mean, we're, you know, talking some new tunes. Mm-hmm. Are we thinking of a 2016 release, or are we...
Most likely.
I would say definitely, yeah. I don't want another year to go by without releasing
something. We've already had a year go by since Caveman, so
yeah.
It's time.
No, I'd like to get something out by the summertime next year, I would say, as far as a new record. You know, I'm kind of I'm toggling between these ideas. I mean, we've talked about just putting EPs out, and I like that idea because they're short and sweet, mm-hmm. and people have shorter mm-hmm. attention spans these days.
And
so
we can push hard at it and get it through.
And get it done, and have like a product to be out there. It's like 5 songs, 6 songs, whatever, and that's a thing. And sure. I've also thought about like just putting singles out, putting a single out here, single out there, and then maybe at the end of the year you put them together as an EP with mm-hmm. a couple extra songs that haven't been released or something like mm-hmm. that. These are things that we haven't fully discussed or whatever, but
decided on,
bounced around in my head certainly. But the initial idea was to do an EP, and right now we do have a bunch of beats in our pocket mm-hmm. that Damon Davis produced, aka Loose Screws.
What up?
And you know, and one of those is the song we were just talking about with mm-hmm. Abroot and Mike and Ryan. Yeah,
I'm really excited about that one too.
Yeah, it's gonna be dope.
Yeah. I also like you guys have been doing a little more acoustic stuff of recent. I don't know how often you guys had done that in the past, but you did the STL Up Late
mm-hmm.
Acoustic, and then you also did some in this, actually I brought my poster with me, the Thanksgiving Eve party. You did it off-Broadway, you did a little in there, and
that was a fun night.
It was so much fun.
That was a fun night. Special shout-out to Ellen Cook, Ellen the Felon, for having us on, because that was so much fun.
It was a great night.
Yeah.
The crowd was hyped, everybody was really
Every band that played killed it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was great.
I got there a little late. Later than I wanted, I missed Traveling Sound Machine. But
they were fantastic.
Fantastic. Transcendent type of music.
Very good. Any of the groups that played that night could have been the headliner. Sure. Any mm-hmm. of us. Like, everyone was strong. Ellen really put a good show together.
Really good.
And Dora just blew my face off. Talk.
Talk.
Like,
yes.
They're unbelievable.
Those guys throw down, man. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then, you got... Brian's dance moves over there and stuff like that. it's a lot of fun to watch them play.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's three guys making a wall of sound.
Oh, my gosh, so
really
good.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I recorded with them a while back, too, and like just had a great time talking to those guys.
Did you record, because they have a podcast, too, did you guys just record at the same time?
Oh, you guys should do each other.
Like a dual podcast?
Yeah.
Where you just only ask questions and no answers?
Yeah. There's been a lot of ideas. Like, I did sort of, not that extreme, but I did... one with a guy, Mark Bland, who also has a show, and so I did his show, and then we sat down, we just flipped the stick, you know, and then he did my show, and that kind of thing, so it was kind of fun to, you know, do that, but yeah, I haven't done the talk cast yet, so yeah, one of these days, hopefully they'll, but yeah, no, that was, so it was cool to see you guys do something a little different, like I said, with the acoustic stuff, and like, for me, I feel, you know, kind of, you guys can hone in on that songwriting, you know, element, the lyrics of the songs and stuff like that, and, you know, the message comes out a little more clearly sometimes.
Definitely. It allows us to breathe a little more mm-hmm. and really get the vocals out the way they were designed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're up on stage and jumping around and whatnot, a lot of times if I'm singing, I got to take it up an octave because, like, otherwise it's just not going to make a lot of, you know,
noise.
It sonically makes sense. And you know, and it's real nice to be able to sit on a stool with an acoustic guitar, you know, behind us, and you know, Andrew playing the cajon instead of the full drum kit, and then we got Terry on the sax, you know, and it just creates a nice sound for us to, like, calmly rap and sing over and, like, take it down a bit, and it's like Pirates Unplugged, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. And having live instruments behind you, I mean, you still, you can't help but have that energy anyway, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, it's a lot of fun playing with again, with people that back you up and, you know, that you follow each other and, you know, the same energy at each point. So.
And speaking on the specific players, Liam Christie is who played the guitar with us on those last two acoustic performances that we did. And Liam's a guy, I mean, he's been around forever, and he's a guy I've known for a very long time. He's specializes in flamenco guitar, but his roots are in rock and roll. He had a band back in the late 80s and early 90s, mid 90s, called the Stranded Lads, and they were a rock band who, I mean, they did a lot of stuff.
He's
for
been
sure.
playing for a long time.
And he's been in some other groups too over the years, but you know, the last, you know, 15 years or so, he's been focusing on flamenco specifically, probably longer than that. And he is a world-class flamenco guitar player. If you ever go see one of his performances, he's amazing what he can do. And I was running a restaurant, and I was booking him, you know, at least once a month for years. And, you know, we've always been real friendly. We'll have cocktails after work and go out and stuff like that, that sort of thing. And you know, when we got to talking, he had wanted to do a, you know, a sort of a remix of Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts.
And
he wanted to have Kendase and I do the vocals on it. And it's like a, it's certainly a Latin-tinged version of the song. And he got some world-class Cuban musicians to play on it. He got Grover Stewart to do the drums. You know, there's... gosh, Cosimo Taylor is doing some horns, John Cavelli as well. You know, just really amazing players, and then we're doing the vocals, and Liam does like a million guitar tracks on it. You know, the percussion is what's his name?
Lázaro
Galarraga. Sorry, on the spot.
You know? There was a lot of hands that went into it. So
Lázaro Galarraga is a legend from Cuba, and he's like 80-something years old. He lives out in L.A. these days, and
like authentic, authentic.
And so
style.
he did a lot of percussion as well as some vocals.
Which really gave us that feel.
My God, it's like my favorite part of the song.
But
yeah, so we recorded it and we put it out. Maybe you'll play it on the end of the podcast or something. But it's a great Summer Breeze. KDHX is certainly giving it some love, and you know, it's way different than anything we've ever done.
But it turned out better than I ever thought.
But it turned out beautifully. Yeah, we recorded it with Matt Sawicki over there at Suburban Pro, and man, it just came out real great.
Is it part of a project or is
Well, we called it Barbary Saints, being that it's. You certainly, we couldn't call it Matthias and the Pirates.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't just Liam Christie. So the combination of, I guess, the three of us, you know, and whoever we want to work with is called Barbary Saints. And it ties in with the Pirates theme or whatever. But and so I'm sure we'll do something else together, you know, maybe just like a single here and a single there and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And maybe just covers. Maybe we take a song we want to cover and we put our little twist on it.
And
you
Liam's
know,
like, already got ideas of things to do. So
sure, you know, as do I. We can do some super weird shit just, you know, with our little flavor.
Yeah.
You know? But it's super cool how it turned out. And I think through that... you know, we came up with the idea of maybe doing like a broken down acoustic sort of set and having Liam come up and do that because he's really good with that stuff. And we'd worked with him already, so we already had like a vibe.
Yeah.
And he knew some of our songs anyway just from being around. So,
being on the scene.
Made sense.
That was cool. Well, I guess we better wrap this thing up. It's
Wrap it up.
Yep.
Wrap it up. Come on.
Chappelle show. Wrap it up.
Yes.
Wrap it up box. Right.
Oh, my gosh. I was just watching that the other day, like crying, laughing. Nothing like that on TV anymore. Anyway.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's one of the best. So, again, dates January 14th at Cicero's.
the pre-party for Prologue?
It was Superhero, Killer, Hands and Feet, and Centipede. And, of course, the Pirates. Mm-hmm. And but then you said the 15th is the...
That Prologue release party, yep.
At 2720.
At 2720, yeah. And if you go to the show at Cicero's on the 14th, you will get a free digital download of the Prologue 5 at the show on Saturday.
All right.
And Prologue 5, just so y'all know, it features, you know, a laundry list of far-fetched artists, Scripts and Screws, Lauren D., Abnormal, Blank Generation, Adult Fur, Hands and Feet, and Laren Loveless. I mean, just, I could go on. But there are many artists on this record, and it's going to be a pretty incredible record. So
yeah.
Certainly you should look up Prologues 1 through 4 in preparation.
Are those available on Bandcamp as well?
They are. Absolutely. Indeed. You'll find Pirates on two of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're on number two and number three.
Mm-hmm.
So, missed out on last year because we were in the middle of making our own EP.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't divert our, you know, our attentions to making a song that wasn't going to be on our EP. So we missed out. But this year we made it by the hair of our chinny chin.
That's me. It's on me. I'll take the blame for that.
Oh,
that's
no,
cool.
No. It's definitely not on you. Trust me. It was, I would say we are equally to blame for the procrastination. But it's done. We got it done. And it's super dope.
It's a banger.
As you're about to find out, listeners, hopefully there's more than one listener. And hopefully you'll like it.
Yes.
But, and then again, January 24th, the demo. You got Friday and Saturday, or is it Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, we're playing on Sunday, but yeah, it's a Saturday Sunday thing. It's called Weekend for Bernie.
Yeah,
you can put that together.
You can put that
up. Yeah, that whole weekend's stacked full of amazing talent. But yeah, come out and see the Pirates on Sunday. $10 will get you in. The plane with
and hopefully a new president.
Yeah,
yeah, who knows?
Look him up. He's got a track record of like liberating the people. Like, right. Look, he's amazing. Anyway, go.
Yeah. All right. So stick around for some brand new Pirates music. Here we go.
Church.
Shining through the window lets me know that everything's alright. The summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine. Saheri Hekwahe, O Bini Dodo, Osa, Osa, Breeze.
Sweet days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home.
streets trying to find a feast. And we super duper dope, but y'all are on the bullets and the pooper scooper broke. You say the genre's evolving, I must be out of touch and I'm obviously balding. But what the rap kids like now sound like the kind of shit that we would constantly clown. I mean, whatever do you, cater to them simpletons and talk like a fool. Have no worldly ambition, blinders on your vision, stay on your whack mission. Don't find problems with the culture, tell everybody you can like whatever you want to. Temporary sons of bitches, petulant and vapid like you only want the riches. Just remember everybody poops, I just choose to do it on your super whack loops. And your raps are bad too, mumble, 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 repeat and snooze. But we are far-fetched, we beautify the universe and all the stars wept. And love has always been the MO, until rap gets back to that, it's in the friend zone. Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, the Gemini and the Lion out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Pirates in an ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
In the age of Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, Sagittarius floating out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Teen in the ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
Dusty golden earth tone, low deeper than dirt. Working with an earthworm, sacrifice and learn. I'm thinking while the roach burn, never gonna be the reason the globe don't turn. Been swimming in a cement mixture, too many visions to see a bigger picture. Too busy period, may wave the spirit. Chose to exhibit the lyrics of Beth Gibbons. I am a hot knife through a butter crowd. Been about a while, usually on that smother style. Saw me turn the mother out, now they call me gutter mouth. Super consistent, can't collect stutter clout. Life ain't a bitch, but her butter's out. For the top, I got it blocked, get another route. Out the gate, shake the environment. Via the method you spark fires with. I am the igniter, take life and rewire it. Hands full of anvils, tried to make light of it. Can't understand fame through web pages. Fix on speaking in ways of fictional dead languages.
Of Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, the Gemini and the Lion out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Pirates in an ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
In the age of Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, Sagittarius floating out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Teen in the ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
No, I take it in stride, maintain, always do what I like. Won't let pride get the inside track. When I've laid aside into the back, curious, so I'm never gonna lack. I got heart, cause I never had a head start. I don't write rhymes, only the top of the charts. This is art, being on stage don't make a star. Call yourself a rapper, won't set you apart. Rising to the skies like a phoenix. Remember that your words have meaning. Take in a breath to speak like you mean it. Life is but a dream if you're sleeping. I was born to tell somebody and I call it like I see it. Following the sequence, but I was never one to eat the beacons. Don't do a thing unless I can see a good reason to it all. Prepare for the squalls and rains that may fall. Never liked it in these four walls. Ooh, let's break them down.
Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, the Gemini and the Lion out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Pirates in an ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
In the age of Aquarius out of the time of Pisces, Sagittarius floating out on the high seas. Unpredictable currents get handled nicely. Teen in the ocean of funk, pretend I'm icy.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.